It's good to be thankful. It's good also to connect with others. We talk about a lot about that here. I've talked about a lot about it today. It's intentional. It's a good thing. You know, I don't know if you wake up early at this time of the year in the morning, but if you do wake up early, which I don't like to make a habit of, by the way, you'll hear birds tweeting. We have a second-story bedroom, and there's trees just right outside of us. And the birds, they tweet, and they're beautiful, and they make little songs, and do-do-do-do, and it's wonderful. And so we just really enjoy those birds. But there's one type of bird that's causing a few problems for me, and that's the kookaburra. And we have mating kookaburras in the garden next door to us, which sounds very lovely, but it's really not. And so what happens with mating kookaburras is they become very territorial, and they will shoo away any other bird in their space because they're very territorial about their land that they're mating on. And so we were sitting in our living space downstairs, just enjoying ourselves and relaxing, and all of a sudden we heard this massive thud on the window. And then the thud was followed up by peck, 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 on our window. It just startled me. So I jumped up and I looked, pulled up the blind, and there's this kookaburra hammering our window to the point, if you've got big beaks, those things. I thought, this thing's going to go through my window. Just, and so we're like, oh, no. So, you know, he's saying, hey, off you go, like that. And then I sat back down, and then, boosh, on the window again. And it really started. It's like you think the bird is going to come through. If you've had this situation, you think, what is going on here? And then again, on our window. Oh, it was frustrating. And so, you know, I got outside with my broom, and I said, off you go, you cheeky little fella. And he went out, and then he came back, and he hammered. So what's going on here? So I got on the internet, and I Googled it up. Why is the kookaburra flying into my window? And it said that what it's doing is that they're territorial, and it can see another kookaburra in the window, and it is trying to get that kookaburra away from its nest, and it won't stop until that kookaburra goes away. that's not helpful. What it was obviously seeing was a reflection of itself, of seeing its identity. And so what this kookaburra is actually doing, it's actually fighting with its own identity. It's trying to get rid of it. It's trying to wrestle and tussle with its own identity. And I thought, isn't that just like us as humans? We spend our life sometimes fighting and tussling with our own identity. Not many of you are out there headbutting windows, but we fight with who we are and what we are, and we end up in places of confusion about who am I? What am I? Where am I supposed to be? There's a lot of conflicting voices about what we should be and who we think we should be. And so we wrestle our whole life with identity and who am I? And so we start to put tags on ourselves, don't we? We say, I wrote a few tags here. We say, I'm a businessman. So we wear that one on us. Or we say, I'm a mum or a dad. And I wear that one. Or I'm a PhD student. So I put that one on. Or I'm a sports star. Throw some more at me. What's something else you've described yourself as? All of the above. That is awesome. Sorry, someone said something over there. A dancer. Thank you. So we start to put stuff on us, and we wear those badges, and we start to think, this is who I am. But then also, there's the other side of it. We think, you know, someone called me a loser the other day. And it wasn't the kookaburra. So, you know, maybe I believe that. Maybe I'm a loser. Maybe I'm inconsistent. So I'm inconsistent. English teachers, I'm just scraping it down. I didn't get the spelling right. I'm inconsistent. I had a go, thanks. That means a lot from the teacher in the room. I love that. I'm inconsistent. Maybe I thought Mark was, you know, I appreciate Mark's affection towards me and his mateship. And so maybe people label me as perhaps I like guys because I liked Mark's affection. So there's labels on our sexuality. maybe there's... It's getting pretty heavy, isn't it? Maybe I'm getting weighted down with all these badges that I have. Benner said this, David Benner, a psychologist, Christian guy, said this. He says, who we experience ourselves to be is the I each one of us carries. Is the I each one of us carries. And so we live our life thinking, who am I? What am I? And so all of these things work until we start to not work. So my identity is my job until I get sacked. Then what am I? My identity is going to be a parent until I can't have kids. Then what am I? My identity is I got into that a course until I tried my guts out and I didn't get into that course. And all of a sudden my identity starts to crumble and who I am is on very, very shaky ground. They're going to come off all session. So we define ourselves by our jobs, our finances, our successes, our gender, our appearance, what others say about us. But you know, if we do that, we're going to end up in a moving feast, because all of this stuff, as you and me know, changes. And who we are needs to be centered on something that doesn't change. We live in a world that changes more and more and more. And if we're not centered, if who I am is not grounded and centered in something that is immovable, then I'm going to be chasing my whole life. If it's in my achievements, if my identity is in my achievements, I've got to keep doing more and more and more to keep my value up. If my identity is in what you call me and what you say I am, then I'm going to spend my life trying to impress you more than I'm trying to impress God. And so my whole life is lived out of a space of what my identity is. My identity and how I see myself actually drives my whole life. And so who your identity is in is one of the most important things that you can have in life. Good news for us. It's good, probably good visual, actually. They're dropping off. That's probably not a bad thing, is it? Just thought of that. Write that down for the next one. Who we are in the Bible says that we are a lot of things. And it says it's based not on what we achieve, not on what we've done, not on what people say about us, but on who God says we are. And when we understand as people who God says we are, wow, that's a freeing and releasing thing. We get to walk a lot taller. We get to walk a lot more confidently, because the thing that we are getting our identity for is rock solid. And it doesn't matter what you say about me. It doesn't matter what I achieve, because that never changes what God says about me. If you've got a Bible, I want you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3 to 14. We're going to be looking over the next 3 weeks at identity. If you've got Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 14 says this. If you've got your Bible, follow along. How we praise God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms, because we belong to Christ. Long ago, even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. And this gave him great pleasure. It's a funny thing, you ever think about God having great pleasure? Sometimes I don't think about God having great pleasure in me. Sometimes I don't have great pleasure in myself. But God has great pleasure in bringing me to him. So we praise God for the wonderful kindness he has poured out on us, because we belong to his dearly loved son. He is so rich in kindness that he purchased our freedom through the blood of his son, and our sins are forgiven. Verse 8, he has showered his kindness on us. He has showered his kindness on us along with all wisdom and understanding. God's secret plan has now been revealed to us. It is a plan centered on Christ, designed long ago according to his good pleasure. Verse 10, and this is his plan. At the right time, he'll bring everything together under the authority of God, everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because of Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For he chose us from the beginning, and all things happened just as he decided long ago. God's purpose was we who were the first to trust in Christ should praise our glorious God. And now you also have heard the truth and good news that God saves you. And when you believe in Christ, he identified you as his own by giving you the Holy Spirit, whom he promised long ago. If you're going to meditate this week, meditate on that scripture. When we get that scripture into who we are, wow, that'll change everything about me, everything about you. Verse 4 says this, He chose you. I want to start today talking about how do you see yourself? Through the eyes of God, I want to open up how He sees you. He says He chose you before creation. Before creation, He chose you. That's such an unusual concept. Such an unusual concept. We live in a world where we choose people on the performance. I choose my football team on their performance. Probably time to change. We choose on all different criteria, but this says that He chose you before creation. Before you had a chance to do anything good, before you had a chance to do anything wrong, He chose you. Isn't that great? In politics, we call it a captain's pick. He had a captain's pick and He picked you. You know, we've all grown up having a chance to be picked for something. And back in the days of sport, before everyone, we got a little bit more politically correct, they would line you up and they would have a couple of captains. And the captain would say, I want him. And, you know, usually the captain picked him because he was a good player. And it went down the list until they got to the person who wasn't so good and they said, oh, if we have to. God chose you before creation. And this is what He had the first pick. He had the captain's pick. And this is what He did when He stood up in front of the group and He said, right, it's my turn to pick. He went, I'll have you and 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 I want to take you, you, you. I could imagine the other captain saying, well, give me a go. No, 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 I'll get to you in a minute. You, 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 you. He picked all of you. That's great. It's not fair, is it? It shouldn't happen. But it did. Praise God, it happened. He chose you before the creation. He had a captain's pick and He chose you. And that gives me confidence. If when I got picked for the school football team by the captain made me feel great, I tell you, when the God of the universe picked me before I did anything, that should make me feel even better. It gives me confidence. Gives me confidence. Verse 5 says this. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ, and this gave Him great pleasure. He adopted us. It's that choosing again. He chose us. NIV puts, He gave us sonship. The scripture, the exact word in the Greek means that He gave us the full rights of Roman citizenship. Full rights in the Roman citizen culture meant that you could do anything. And when He chose you and me, He adopted you and me into His family and He gave us sonship, which means full rights to the kingdom. That's good, isn't it? There's no tiered system. I was speaking to someone the other day about MCG membership and they say, I don't know if it's about the MCG membership, but you've got to get on a waiting list and it takes a while to get into a space. And then you get a reserved membership. And a reserved membership means that you get a seat once all the members have taken their opportunity and then you might get a chance to get a seat. And if you've been on that for about 5 or 8 years, then you might get onto the membership list. Wow. In the kingdom of God, you have sonship, which means there's no tiers. You have fullness in the kingdom of God. You don't have to be around for a little while in the kingdom of God and then you might get to do a little bit more and open a few more doors and the blessing will come a little bit more. The blessing of sonship is on all of us. He chose us. He adopted you. He chose you. He gave you adoption. Verse 6 says that He redeemed you through His blood. That does sound a little bit weird if you haven't been in the Bible for long. He redeemed you through His blood, which means we needed a sacrificial, there was a sacrificial system that made us right with God and animals were sacrificed. It was the blood of the animal and they put it on the door frames that gave you rightness with God. He came as the one and only atoning sacrifice and died for you and me and His blood has made us free in Christ. We are redeemed. Redeemed, it costs to redeem something. You don't redeem something for free, it costs you, and He redeemed you and me so that we can take off the labels and live in freedom. Take off the labels and live in freedom. Verse 11 and 12 says that so that your life would bring Him glory, so that your life would bring glory to Him. that he sets us free, not just so that we are free to do whatever, Lord, we can, but he set us free that your life would bring him glory. Now, if we had an honest tay-tay here and we sat down, I don't know that my life brings glory to God that sometimes. Had an episode yesterday where I'd rather not film it and put it on the screen, to be honest. It wasn't great. It wasn't one of my finer parenting moments. And so what happens here is then I go, you are terrible, Pete. Because I'm starting to judge myself and get my identity from the way I act. You're a bad parent. You're terrible. And so we start to get down on ourselves and go, you know what, I am a loser. My kids probably will grow up not liking me. Well, that's probably what's going to happen. And we go, beat ourselves up. And that's my identity. And I go through life thinking, I'm a bit of a stuff up. I'm a bit of a screw up, really. And if you get to know me, you'll see the stuff up. And so I live out of, I'm a bit of a stuff up. But it says, no, it says that he uses my life to bring him glory. Here's a little Christian secret. His glory shines more through my stuff ups than it does in my good things. We are broken vessels. A vessel holds a light. If there's no cracks, the light does not get out. Not an excuse to have cracks, by the way. But it shows his grace and his mercy. And so he'll use your life. Your identity is your life is being used to bring glory to him. That's the truth. That's the scripture word here. It doesn't matter what we feel or what we think. The truth is in the scripture. It says your life brings glory to him. Wow, so here's a little thing. He chose you. He adopted you. He redeemed you and he chose his your life to bring glory to him. This is the God that made the universe, people. This is not the Australian cricket captain. The God that made everything. That's what he feels about you and me. That's what he feels. And if you're like me, you're hearing it going, yeah, that's good, Pete. Really, that's all right. No. But, no, you need to know today. Whether you've first time you're hearing about Jesus or whether you've heard him for 55 years, this is how Jesus sees you. This is how God sees you. Colossians 3:1-3 says, so because of that, set your eyes on him. Set your eyes on things above. Keep your eyes up, people. Keep your eyes up. When people are saying things about you, keep your eyes up. When you start to be judged by you, the way that you failed or succeeded, keep your eyes up. Keep your eyes focused on him. If I am what I do, I'll always need to do more to find my value. It's a mouse, a rat trap. The circle one. Oh, I think it's more of a rat trap. I don't know if it's a race. Is it? Anyway, we'll discuss it later. If I am what others say, I'll always try to impress others other than Christ. But if I am who God says I am, if I am who God says I am set free and able to follow his plans. You and me need to understand we are set free. Our world needs to see people who are set free. Not perfect people, they don't exist. But people who are set free. That's what our world needs to see. I want you to close your eyes. I want to read a list to you about some other things that God says about you. And I just want you to let this wash over you. We're going to do kind of a meditative exercise. I'm going to read some words slowly to you. Just allow your mind to soak on this. You are a new creation, 2 Corinthians says. You are his own special possession. You are a chosen hand picked by God who created you, Ephesians says. You are treasured, Deuteronomy says. You are irreplaceable. You are loved beyond compare, 1 John tells me. You are worth dying for. You are forgiven. You are his child. You are secured for all eternity. You are set free, Romans tells me. You are precious to him, Isaiah tells me. You are set apart. You are wise and restored, 1 Corinthians tells me. You are a new creation. You are his own special possession. You are chosen, handpicked by God who created the you. You are treasured. You are irreplaceable. You are loved beyond compare. You are worth dying for. You are forgiven. You are his child. You are secured for all eternity. You are set free. You are precious to him. You are wise and restored. Praise God. That's who the Bible says you are. And this is you when you're at the lunch table at school, where you often sit by yourself. This is you when you missed your grades. This is you when you didn't make the team. This is you when you sinned so badly you thought you could never be taken seriously again. This is you. And what God says is, this is you. Will you accept you? Will you be free to be you? Or will you be like a kookaburra who consistently fights you to try and get away from you, hoping that a better you will appear, one that's more palatable to the world? It's as futile as banging your head against a window. There's a God who loves you, who accepts you. And so I want to free us today, as we look at this next 3 weeks, for you to love you and you to accept you, because you're good people. God made you and said, it is good. Before the creation of time, he said, it is good. Your identity doesn't rely on how you feel, but what you have accepted. Do we today accept what God says? That's the starting point of this identity business. Do we hear what God says? Do we accept what God says? And then we work out, how do we walk in that and how do we live in that? We're going to play a beautiful song to finish up before we ask the worship team. I'm going to pray after that. I just want you to focus on the words and allow them to wash over you. It's a good thing.
Keep fighting voices in my mind that say I'm not enough. Every single lie that tells me I will never measure up. Am I more than just the sum of every high and every low? Remind me once again just who I am, because I need to know. heaven, now I'm laying it at your feet. You'll have every failure, God, you'll have every victory.
That share a truth and a reality that we can all have. You know, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up in a moment. And but you know, identity stuff is our core, and we want to give you a chance to be able to pray with each other today and to do that. I'm going to ask Troy. Troy's had a picture from he believes from God as I was speaking. He's going to share that now with us, and we're going to get the worship team up after that. And if you want to be prayed for today, person next to you can pray. I'm happy to pray. Troy's happy to be prayed. But don't leave without being prayed for. This is a core issue.
So, as Pete was writing these on himself, I closed my eyes and I had a picture of exactly that label that was put on me. Those things that people said about me that I've carried for my entire life. And I believe God wants to break bonds this morning. Because you are not who people say you are. You are who God says you are. So we're going to open up the altar this morning for that opportunity, specifically a thing that was written about you and placed on your heart that you've carried. God does not want you to carry that anymore. We approach the throne of God with boldness. And he has adopted us in as sons and daughters of the God Most High. No longer accept what the world says you are. So once you come forward as the band sings, we're going to offer this opportunity, and we believe in a God who is powerful and mighty, a God who your identity is wrapped up in him. And that is enough.